The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Bruce Hooley Show podcast is brought to you by HemisphereCoffeeRoasters.com. Creating jobs and restoring dignity one cup at a time. Good coffee doing good. Learn more at HemisphereCoffeeRoasters.com. I always look forward to Thursdays on the Bruce Hooley Show because it's when we visit with our friend Matt Mayer of OpportunityOhio.org. Matt's a great follow on Twitter. Follow him at OhioMatt. He's fantastic on business matters, political matters, all matters, just the right mix of insight and snark. And he's not afraid to tell the truth, and that is a rare commodity in today's world. And Matt, you know, I see that John Kasich, the former governor of the state of Ohio, is back, and he's writing an editorial for the Wall Street Journal. My life was fine without John Kasich weighing in, and I'm not surprised that his editorial, which starts out talking about the just-resigned Prime Minister of Great Britain, Liz Truss, ends up being an editorial about what a fantastic governor John Kasich was.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd op-ed, honestly. I mean, it's like, you know, John Kasich, that's how it should have been. John Kasich is a wanker. I mean, at the end of the day, he tries to act like, oh, I cut taxes and job growth was great. What he doesn't say, of course, is, you know, as John Kasich was governor, each year Ohio's private sector got weaker. So our job growth was weaker and weaker as he got further into his tenure, meaning as his policies got firmly put in place, Ohio got weaker private sector job growth. And that goes for, you know, he created this Jobs Ohio boondoggle, which, again, the longer they were doing their magical, you know, fairy dust stuff, Ohio is getting weaker and weaker. So that problem is the legacy John Kasich left Ohio is we've got the 40th best recovery from the pandemic of all 50 states. So that ain't much to be bragging about to Liz Truss. The other piece of the puzzle, as you know, we've talked about is, you know, he expanded Medicaid under Obamacare. So what did that do? Well, it created 3.5 million dependents on Medicaid in Ohio, which is about a third of the state. And the Medicaid population is now about 75% of Ohio's private sector. Think about that for a minute. You can't have a ratio where you have essentially almost as many people receiving that kind of government aid as are driving the economy forward, because it just becomes too heavy of a burden. So that's why Ohio remains in the ditch economically. So if there's any lesson Ohio can teach Liz Truss or her successor now is, one, you got to free the private sector. We should have enacted right to work like Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Kentucky all did. And we shouldn't be burdening taxpayers by expanding Medicaid to healthy single adults who can work and find health care on their own. Those two problems are what we should have essentially been teaching other people is don't do what John Kasich did, do the opposite.
So, Matt, were there any warning signs at the time? Because I've been talking about the origins of inflation today, and it really goes back to the 2008 financial crisis when we decided to go to 0% interest rates. And, you know, it's going to work for a while. It's going to grow the economy for a while. It's really fake growth because really all it did was, you know, raise on paper the value of homes. Now it's part of the problem that we have with inflation. And you could have known at the time, hey, you can't survive it forever on zero interest rates. So I wonder, when Kasich did these things, was there a possibility of like, yeah, in the short term, this will be fine, but in the long term, was anybody warning about this at the time?
Yeah, there was this incredibly brilliant, good-looking young man that was warning named Matt Mayer. I mean, yeah, like I was shouting from the rooftops because we already had a couple of states that had expanded Medicaid before Obamacare got in place. And so they gave us an example of what was going to happen. And what it told us was costs were going to be way more than they thought. And by the way, Medicaid's now swallowing 50% of the state budget. And the enrollment was going to be far greater than they expected. John Kasich said enrollment was going to be 275,000. We are now at 3.5 million. We are now well over a million more people have joined Medicaid since John Kasich expanded it. I warned him that not to do it. I warned the legislature not to do it. I warned Mike DeWine to repeal it. But these folks, they're political cowards, and they refuse to kind of do what's right for Ohio. So as a result, more taxpayers are now on the hook for an enormously expensive program that is only growing. We add about 15 to 20,000 people a month onto the rolls every month, no matter what's going on in the economy. And if we have a deeper recession than we're already having in the coming year, those numbers are going to go up even higher, to a point where we could actually have a Medicaid enrollment population the same size as Ohio's private sector. That's crazy.
That is absolutely crazy. Our guest is Matt Mayer, OpportunityOhio.org. Follow him on Twitter, at Ohio Matt. You mentioned Mike DeWine. He is breezing to re-election as governor. And I'm a little surprised, because I thought he alienated a lot of rural Republican voters during COVID. I knew he'd pick up some Democratic votes because he was, you know, Captain Lockdown. But is this more a reflection of people forgiving Mike DeWine, or a reflection of the Democrats just nominated the wrong person, or she, Ann Whaley, doesn't have the money to even compete in a race like this?
Look, I think it is entirely due to the Democrats have such a weak bench in Ohio that they put up about one of the weakest candidates. Not that, you know, she's probably the strongest candidate they had, but among the weakest candidates you could put up, and she can't raise money. So Mann has no chance, not because Mike DeWine is so good. And look, we'll know when we see the numbers on election night, we'll see if there's an undervote between J.D. Vance and Mike DeWine. I suspect there will be, because he'll get crossover Democrat votes, but I suspect what we'll see is an imbalance between the votes for J.D. Vance and the votes for Mike DeWine.
Okay, let's turn to the Senate race. And Tim Ryan obviously is running neck and neck in every poll with J.D. Vance. There are those who think that Vance is going to win comfortably, nothing to worry about. I'm a little, I want to see it before I believe it. But not that I want to get in Tim Ryan's head, because, you know, there's all kinds of evil thoughts in there about killing babies. But in his heart of hearts, do you think he now wishes he had run for governor instead of for Senate?
No. I think he now wishes he would have run for Congress again and not the Senate or governor, because he wouldn't have beat Mike DeWine, just because, again, they two couldn't have been able to raise the money to go against a guy who's worth $110 million. But I think he would love to keep his $170,000 a year congressional job, because when he loses on November 8th, you know, he's now going to have to stare into the reality of, oh, God, I've got to get a real job. We both know he won't. He'll go work for some lobbying group, or he'll go work for some chamber or some left-wing group, or get a job for the Biden administration. But, you know, like, just like Richard Cordray never actually can find a real job, right? It's that same kind of mentality of, you know, and not to pick on just Democrats, you know, Steve Stivers and Pat DeBeer are sucking off the teat of those things, too. So,
amen.
You know, they're all about finding the sinecure that comes next, right?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Matt Mayer is our guest with OpportunityOhio.org. He writes the Patriot Mind Substack. Search that, Patriot Mind, Matt Mayer. Okay, so you said Vance will win. I say Vance will win. I'm just counting on the Republicans being undersampled, and I can't believe that DeWine could win by whatever the percentage is that many people will cross over and vote a Ryan DeWine ticket. But do you think, and we hear this all across the country, and Dr. Oz gaining on Fetterman, and Mark Kelly's in trouble in Arizona, and Raphael Warnock, Herschel Walker's going to withstand the abortion allegations, and he's going to win. We're 3 weeks out, or a little less than 3 weeks out. I'm nervous, maybe it's just my nature, but to be nervous about Republicans spiking the ball too early, because a couple months ago it was like Democrats are doing well, now that's faded, and Republicans are doing well. Is the amount of time between now and the midterms such a small amount of time that you don't see these trends shifting back?
I don't. And remember, when you heard about the Democrats trending, that was not actually true. It was just the media and the Democrats pushing that so that they could essentially bring in money and, you know, keep their voters engaged. But they were never really trending. But when you look, and I follow like about eight different races really closely, every week I'm gauging them, and I can tell you, in every situation, the trend line is moving towards Republicans more and more. So I actually think that if that trend continues, and we're seeing stuff like, you know, independents and women are breaking towards Republicans, Hispanics breaking towards Republicans, possible Republicans get, you know, 15 to 20% of the black vote this year. If those trends continue, then we're going to see a very, very ugly night for Democrats on November 8th, because we're looking at races like, you know, them losing the governor's race in Oregon. We even got a Senate race in Connecticut, which is in, you know, margin of error right now. Blumenthal, who's a liar about his Vietnam service, right? But he's been in there for 36 years. He's on a neck and neck race In Connecticut, which is as blue as you can get, right? Lee Zeldin is within margin of error with Hochul up in New York for governor. So all these races are trending in the right direction, and I don't suspect it's going to change. I don't see anything happening domestically or internationally that's going to be beneficial to Democrats. In fact, just the opposite, right? Gas prices are going back up, right? We're now having to tap the reserve just simply so Democrats can win is what Biden's now saying, right? The Saudis have accused Biden of essentially begging them to open up the spigot for another month to save the Democrats, which, by the way, I think Trump was impeached for doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are all these things happening, none of which I think are going to be good for the Democrats, and I think the trend lines are going to continue to go in the right direction. So I suspect we're going to see a pretty good red wave on November 8th, but, you know, who knows? Lots of October surprises happen. Maybe we will have 51 intelligence officers lie again about something to do with Biden and Hunter Biden in his laptop. Who knows?
Real quickly, yes or no, do Republicans win the Senate seats in Arizona, yes or no?
I'm going to change my earlier mind and say, yeah, I think they're going to win it. I think Masters is going to pull out a victory.
Okay, yes or no only in the time that we have. Georgia, yes or no Republican?
Yes.
Pennsylvania, yes or no Republican?
Yes.
Okay, Matt, great to have you on. Appreciate it. Love talking with you. Follow him on Twitter at OhioMatt, opportunityohio.org. Thanks, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Bruce.
And a reminder, the rest of the hour will be guest-heavy as well. 12:30 today, Hugh Hewitt will be part of the Talkers Tour Friday at Genoa. And 12:45, we'll have Senator Ted Cruz. So we are coming up on, of course, the midterm election. We have the big Talkers Tour event on Friday night, and it's at a church, and it's a beautiful building. I find it appropriate that we are having a political event in a church. I know a lot of people are uneasy with that there's separation of church and state. By the way, that phrase is not in the Constitution. That's a concept people have come to believe is in the Constitution. It is not. America was founded with religious freedom as a tenet. It was founded so that the government could not establish a preferred religion, one over the other, but it did not come into being to insulate its citizens or to give them freedom from religion. That is insinuated by many, and now on the left we see an effort to introduce as cultural norms a lot of ideas that are, well, they're evil. I mean, when you want to, under the guise of affirming kids and caring for kids and being kind to kids, when you're really doing to them is confusing them, heightening their desperation, and driving them to the worst kind of self-harm, beyond being mutilated by drugs and being mutilated by surgery, is a lot of these kids commit suicide because under the guise of telling them what they want to hear, oh, you're a boy and really you want to be a girl, okay, you can be one. It's much more compassionate, much more loving to reason with them through that momentary portion of their lives where they're awkward, confused, looking for community, any kind of approval they can find, and telling them the truth and loving them through that time. I do believe that a lot of the things in our country that we see pushed by the left are very, very evil. And it's extremely stark to me and bothersome to me that one of the ways that people in power try to divide our country is along the lines of race. Now, we have had, of course, our problems with race in this country. But it seems to me, as someone who, you know, grew up in the 70s, that we had progressed to a point where race was really not much of an issue until Barack Obama became president. Then it became an issue, and it should have become an example of proving that America had moved past racism, where we would have rejected someone as the leader of our nation simply because of his skin color. That would not have happened in the 1950s, the 1960s, 70s, 80s. I could have seen it happening in the 90s, less so, but when Barack Obama was elected in 2008, it was, to me, the most bold proof that we were no longer a country that saw race as a defining characteristic. But if you watch MSNBC at all particularly Joy Reid, particularly Tiffany Cross, and the commentators that they put on, you will hear racism preached a lot. Here's a sampling of all black commentators on MSNBC.
Many of us have seen the dangers when powerful white people decide they want something, they annex it. And they've never had a problem replacing the people who stand in their way.
We see American white people are going crazy. They're resorting to violence.
This is literally what conservative white folks do when they don't get their way. They turn violent.
White people deputizing themselves in some position of authority to have jurisdiction over their life when they need to mind their blanking business.
All right, so you get the idea. I don't need to play it all. There's more. I don't need to play it all. Jason Whitlock is a friend of mine. I knew Jason 30 years ago when he was covering Michigan and I was covering Ohio State. Jason has gone on to great things in media, and it's been really cool for me to watch Jason's faith grow to the point that he, like me, has started to use his gifts of speaking and writing to apply them to issues that are going on in our country. And he's very, very insightful on race. Here he is last night on Tucker talking about the use of race as a weapon.
It's pervasive across corporate media. It's pervasive in the sports world. It's one of the reasons why I left ESPN and Fox Sports, to be quite frank with you, and wanted to do my own independent thing, because of the way that we talk about race in the corporate media is very unhealthy. It's very toxic. It's intended. People have been bought and paid for to undermine this country.
That's exactly right. But Jason went on to talk about what I think is really at the heart of this. It is an effort to divide us, but it is also an effort to keep us from being the nation that we are created to be, a nation under God with deference to God and an observance of God as the ultimate authority in our lives.
This country was founded on biblical principles, period, end of story. This is a biblical experiment, the United States of America, and it has been a success. The atheists, the Marxists, the people hostile to God want to end this biblical experiment, and they're using race to tear it down. That's the nuclear weapon. Race, 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 race. We haven't treated race right. We got to write a new constitution. This whole thing's been a failure. It's a smokescreen. It's an attack on God. Those of us that are believers, regardless of our surface level differences of skin tone, if you're a believer, you got to wake up and look at what they're doing. They're attacking God. You think they're attacking you. They're not. They're attacking God, and they're attacking a country that was founded on biblical principles. Is this country perfect? No way. But it's better than anything else. It's the only biblical experiment that's ever been tried with a nation. The results are better than anybody else has ever gotten. What the steps we've taken in this country to correct our racial problems or steps other countries haven't come close to. This is satanic what they're doing, and they've been paid to do it.
Now, a lot of people think that's over the top, satanic. But if you want proof that pure, unadulterated evil is mixed up in Democratic policies, give a listen to Stacey Abrams. She's a black woman. Abortion disadvantages the black community more than anything else, more than any other ethnicity. It is aimed at and wreaks its havoc on the black community. Listen to Stacey Abrams on MSNBC.
But while abortion is an issue, it nowhere reaches the level of interest of voters in terms of the cost of gas, food, bread, milk, things like that. What can a governor, what could you do as governor to alleviate the concerns of Georgia voters about those livability, daily, hourly issues that they're confronted with?
But let's be clear. Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. For women, this is not a reductive issue. You can't divorce being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy from the economic realities of having a child.
Kill your child so you can afford to live.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.